Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
And I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
Charlie, as ever, we are indebted to our listeners for keeping us on the pulse of pop music.
Oh yeah, what have you heard?
And right now we are indebted to listener Jenna DeWitt, who has informed us that there's something happening in pop music right now.
What's
there's
happening?
A kind of millennial nostalgia.
Well, unsurprising, yeah.
But no, we can be very specific. There's nostalgia by millennials for the new millennium. And I want to explore this. How do you create nostalgia for a moment 20 years ago in music and lyrics? Mm-hmm. And we're going to explore that through the lens of a song by Charlie XCX and Troye Sivan.
Love them.
And then in the second half, I want to think about how our understanding of the millennium has changed over time.
Okay, cool.
Through the lens of music.
Yeah.
Okay? Great. Okay, so let's dive into the song by Charlie XCX and Troye Sivan that just came out called 1999.
What? Like Prince?
Yes.
What?
We've talked about both Charlie XCX and Troye Sivan separately on this show.
They're spectacular.
I think we immediately started nodding our heads when it started.
I'm skeptical of nostalgia as an aesthetic, but I like this song.
Okay, great. Well, let's get into that. Save your skepticism for a moment.
I can't.
Let's talk for a second about how this song does create nostalgia.
Yeah.
Right? So certainly in the lyrics, we have some very clear references to this late 90s millennial moment.
Sure.
And one of the biggest ones is a reference to the Britney Spears song from the year 1999, Hit Me Baby One More Time. Right there.
Ooh, nice
the
little
chorus.
Rhyme there, Nate.
Oh, that I wasn't even intentional. Now, the question I want to ask, though, so there's definitely some lyrical references here.
Yeah.
And in general, there's the sense of wanting to go back to, you know, a simpler time, a time of your youth, the old neighborhood, just sort of like is a very escapist kind of fantasy here.
Right. Drop all of the adult responsibilities.
Exactly. But here's the question. Musically, do you think this song creates 90s nostalgia?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I think it's a blend of modern pop music. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. Like, if you actually put Britney Spears in the middle of other Troye Sivan and Charlie XCX tracks, it would sound entirely different. Like, actually, the songs were mixed differently back then because they were mixed for FM radio and things are now mixed for streaming.
Fascinating.
Oh, yeah. No, there's all sorts of, you know, obviously compositional differences and sound choice differences and even harmonic differences. Mm. We've seen a radical shift of what mainstream popular music sounds like in that time frame. However, there are definitely some timbral qualities and orchestrating choices that I'm hearing some 90s stuff, particularly that piano sound at the end.
Charlie, very, very good, Charlie. You passed with flying colors, because I agree. I think in a lot of ways, there's not much here really to connect you to that late 90s, early 2000s musical moment. But there may be one key aspect, and it is that piano.
Key aspect.
That
was really bad.
I'm not trying. You want to find puns and wordplay.
My job is to find meaning in all things unnecessary.
Everywhere. Okay, well, find meaning in this, Chuck. let's go to the bridge of this song. And we're going to talk more about the bridge, but let's just listen to that piano, because it'll really come to the fore here.
Great. Yes.
Back to 1999. I know those days are over, but a boy can fantasize about JTT and MTV.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm right there, right there. And he's right there, right there. I'm right there, right there. I wanna go back.
Yeah. I have to do a little Google right here, because Troye Sivan is born in 1995, not watching JT on TRL on MTV in 1999.
No, he's referencing JT. TT.
Oh, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Wow, yeah, way to blow that up. He was the young heartthrob star of Home Improvement.
Oh, that's right.
A very teen idol of the time. Okay, so we've got this great bridge, perhaps anachronistic based on Troye Sivan's own biography, but a bridge referencing, you know, 90s icons like JTT and MTV.
Yeah.
But it's really all about that piano. Let's just isolate that piano for a second. And as you immediately recognize, there's something about the sound. It's like some kind of digital piano, I think. It's not a true acoustic piano.
Oh, certainly not. It sounds like the piano on the Korg Triton, which is like the popular workstation keyboard at the time.
Great. So we've got a very specific, this like fake piano sound, and in this really driving syncopated rhythm.
Yeah.
And that is probably the strongest connection to the music of the late 90s, because we can find that digital piano rhythmic stab motive or trope in a number of dance tracks from the period.
Certainly, it's derivative of house music.
Right,
this is like the house piano sound, which we hear first in mainstream popular music, probably in like Vogue.
Great context there, Charlie. Let's dig into a couple tracks that use this house piano 90s dance track. The first one we're going to check out is DJ Bobo.
Oh, I don't remember this. Yes, classic house.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know it's a 90s dance track if you want to just start bopping your head like Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan in A Night at the Roxbury at that SNL skit.
That's what's happening.
Okay, so that's DJ Bobo, Someone to Dance With Me. Yeah. Let's hear another example of these piano stabs. Let's take a listen to Bailindo by Paradiso.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really a moment, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's amazing how so many of these elements still exist in mainstream pop music but are sort of subverted to be more textural. Right, you have all these big noise sweeps, the psh and the drum fill, those kind of things.
Totally,
they're still around but they're so in your face here.
Yeah,
become almost a trope. And so someone like I think Zed uses the exact same techniques but buries them within the mix.
Interesting. Where else have we heard this too? Maybe in Greenlight by Lord, produced by Jack Antonoff. House piano stabs. Okay, one more and my favorite of the bunch here. This is Real McCoy, Another Night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that terrible synth line. Great bass.
Yeah.
Same drum fill. This is a great song.
Your ears did not deceive you, Charlie. No. In the Charlie XCX Troye Sivan track, I think the biggest musical referent to the 90s is that piano stab, digital piano house 90s. It is very much of an era.
Yeah.
But maybe there's another element that's a little more structural, and it's still in the same place. That is the bridge.
Okay.
The bridge is a formal element that is not maybe as common today as it once was.
We talked about that with Emily Warren a few episodes.
We talked about exactly. And I bring this up actually because the music writer Brennan Carley in GQ really noticed when we interviewed Emily Warren a few episodes ago that she remarked exactly on this phenomenon, the disappearing bridge.
Right.
The section of a song that you usually only hear once and it provides some contrast, usually after the second chorus, and it usually leads to a final chorus.
Right. It's kind of like a palate cleanser is how I think about
it. I love that. Yeah. Great. The sort of calm before the final storm of the song. Yeah. And in even including a bridge, Charlie XCX and Troye Sivan are maybe making a reference to an earlier period.
Yeah.
And I think we can compare it in this respect to the song they mention in the chorus.
Yeah.
Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears.
Mm.
So let's listen to the bridge of 1999 one more time.
Yeah.
And then let's compare it to the bridge of Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Right.
Love the air horn. I know those days are over, but a boy can fantasize about JTT and MTV. When I close my eyes, and I'm right there, right there, and he's right there, right there, I'm right there, right there. I wanna go. Yeah, so good.
What would you say the kind of function of the bridge there?
I think you had it right. It's the calm before the storm. It brings the energy down so that it can build right back up and we can have the biggest chorus to lead us out.
Beautiful. Keep that in mind. Let's go back 20 years now to Hit Me Baby One More Time, and we're gonna jump right to the bridge. Hit me baby one more time. Okay, so once again we've kind of brought things down here.
Yeah. Piano. Sweeps.
And now things are going to gradually build. And we can feel it coming. The final chorus is right around the corner.
This is a little bit of a down chorus right there.
Well, you're right. Something has happened here.
Yeah.
And this is the final thing I want to talk about in terms of the musical reference here, because I think Charlie XCX and Troye Sivan missed an opportunity to create another kind of 90s reference here.
Right.
Because this moment after the bridge in the Britney Spears song, Hit Me Baby One More Time, is very characteristic of what Max Martin and other producers were doing right around the turn of the millennium. And it's something that has been identified by the music theorist Megan Lavengood as this discrete phenomenon called the complimentary chorus.
Oh, what's that?
Okay, so let's go back to that moment right at the end of the bridge. It sounds like we're going back to the original chorus of Hit Me Baby One More Time, but in fact, we don't get the original chorus. We get a modified version of the chorus.
Ooh, okay, great.
Let's listen to that.
Oh, the scale's rising up.
What? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. Okay, cool. So Charlie's very excited.
I've never noticed this.
Yeah, it's subtle in a way because it's just a slight transformation of the original chorus.
But there's so much harmonic tension.
We've changed the rhythm of the lyrics and the melody.
Yep.
We've ratcheted up the harmonic tension. It's an alternative complementary chorus.
Yeah.
And then what happens immediately after, so just to recap, we've gone from a bridge that's built up into what we thought would be a chorus, but in fact it was this kind of modified chorus.
Right.
And then afterwards, we go to the original chorus.
Right, of course.
So let's hear that. My loneliness is killing me, and I must confess, I still believe. Okay.
Yeah.
We've gone from bridge, modified chorus, regular chorus, and now is kind of the coup de grace, the climax of the whole piece.
Okay.
Because that modified chorus
and
the original chorus have a secret, which is that they go together perfectly. You can play those at the same time, and they will link up in all these beautiful contrapuntal ways.
That's amazing.
Let's hear it. Let's hear the final chorus of this song.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
So once, just again, just to recap one more time, bridge leads into this alternative chorus. Then we get to the regular chorus. And then finally, in the sort of climactic coming together of the whole piece, we get the modified chorus and the original chorus stacked on top of each other,
which we call a collision.
A collision or a complementary chorus.
Got
great.
It. Yeah.
Great, great, great. Okay. What's so cool, yeah, as Megan Lavingood points out, this is not confined to Hit Me Baby One More Time. We can find this all over music of the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And to stay in our lane here, let's stick with Britney Spears. Let's go to her next big hit, Oops, I Did It Again.
It's the same song, right?
Same thing. Get out of here. Get out of here. I don't like you. Let's go right to the bridge, okay?
Same structure.
Once again, we kind of bring it down.
Little interlude.
And then this one is special.
Yeah. Oh. It's a skit.
Brittany, before you go, there's something
Titanic.
I want you to have.
Yep.
Oh, it's beautiful. But wait a minute, isn't this?
Yeah, yes it is.
But I thought the old lady dropped it into the ocean in the air.
Well, baby, I went down.
The same thing as Britney Spears' love story.
Okay, here, check it out. We're headed. Modified chorus.
Yeah.
Okay, let's review. Same playbook, right?
Yeah.
We had a bridge, and in this case, a very, very late 90s, early 2000s bridge, right?
It's like double nostalgia, right? we got the Titanic reference.
It is.
And it also does the same thing that Taylor Swift's Love Story does, which is it takes the original classic tale and then turns it around, right? Instead of Romeo and Juliet, they all die, they get together in the end, and at the end of Titanic, they're like, oh, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, let's give that a happy ending.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have this great Titanic bridge,
yeah,
which then builds into not the original chorus, but this modified complimentary chorus.
Yeah.
Then the original chorus. And now, finally, let's listen to what happens at the very end. We're going to hear the complimentary chorus and the original chorus stacked on top of each other. It is so effective. And
that's,
I think,
amazing,
a subtle part of the way we hear music from that period around the turn of the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
It's so familiar to us, whether we recognize it or not, this collision, this complementary chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to say that I feel like Charlie XCX and Troy Sivan missed a golden opportunity here.
Ooh, let's listen slam.
Let's listen to it one more time. Listen to the bridge going into the chorus.
Yeah.
And then I'll suggest what I think should be the modified chorus.
Damn.
All right, let's hear it.
Air horn.
And it's not to take away from this song, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
But just picture this. What if it builds up right there? I'm right there. I'm right there. And then it goes, I want to go back to 99. And then you stack it on top of each other. I mean, that's obviously
exactly what's
how to make
happen.
It a yeah. true yeah. like millennial masterpiece.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the 90s. Anyway, call me, reach out, tweet me, Charlie XCX, Troye Sivan. I'll help doctor this into the millennial masterpiece.
The
it could be.
Musicologist Nate Sloan remix.
Okay, so that was a lovely trip down the lyrical, musical, structural nostalgia of the new millennium. But I think it's worth zooming out for a minute, because the fact at all that these artists have nostalgia for that time represents a very different vision of the millennium.
Oh my gosh, for sure.
Okay, so let's hit pause and come back and talk about how our musical understanding of the new millennium has changed.
Yeah. Nate and I get endless emails asking us about how to learn music theory, and we could not be more excited to introduce you to ultimatemusictheory.com.
Yes.
So, Nate, in this track, Hit Me Baby One More Time,
yeah,
you're talking about these two different choruses that somehow collide together.
Yeah.
How in the world does somebody do that?
The answer, Charlie, is the dark art of counterpoint.
This is a essential music theory component.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like it's a great example of what goes on beyond the scenes. Some people like Max Martin and perhaps Britney herself, you know, have mastered these aspects of music theory that allow you to put two distinct melodies together in a way that makes musical sense.
Right.
That's hard to do. And in order to make sure it'll work and not just sound like chaos when you put these two separate things together, you need to understand how notes and rhythms go together with one another.
Right. In this track, we're hearing basically a melody and a counter melody, but also they are not necessarily in the exact same rhythm. They're displaced, different rhythms that provide some contrast to each other.
Yeah.
And clearly, when the artists were sitting down to write this, they probably wrote them on top of each other before they separated them, because you have to make sure that the things are going to work out. It's not just by chance they wrote these two different things and things worked perfectly.
Sure. I mean, it depends who you are. If you're Johann Sebastian Bach, you can do this in your head.
Bach so, this, Bach that.
No, I think you're right. You know, music theory is like a language.
Yeah.
And you can't, unfortunately, really learn a language just by, you know, listening to people speak French. you need a course. You need a program. You need something that will take you through the steps of this complex art.
Right.
And that's why ultimatemusictheory.com is an incredible solution to learning music theory.
Definitely. They're going to help you master skills that you need to make music, to learn faster by hearing what you see and seeing what you hear. And they're going to help you discover the elements of music and melody, harmony, rhythm, and analysis, and basically how to take all of that and practically apply it to your own music.
Go to umtcourse.com to sign up for the Ultimate Music Theory course today. It's a $1,200 value. Regular price is $299, but with our coupon code ONPOP, you get $100 off for only $199.
Go learn the theory you need in your music at umtcourse.com and use the promo code ONPOP. umtcourse.com, promo code ONPOP.
Charlie XCX and Troy Sivan are not alone in their nostalgia for the late 90s.
I think all millennials are. Isn't it like 90s hip-hop radio is the fastest growing radio format?
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a very macro trend.
Oh, yeah.
We can find some very micro examples of this because there are a few other recent songs that really get right to the heart of this millennial nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
And one that has been pointed out to us is by Lauren Elena, and it's called Ladies in the 90s. I just wanna feel like ladies in the 90s. Turn the dial and find me some strawberry wine so I can sing all night long acting like I'm Britney. Come on, baby, hit me just one more time. Hey, yeah, hey. And I feel like the woman. I can feel you breathe when you say my name. Hey, I don't want no scrubs. Need a cowboy to take me away. I wanna feel like ladies in the 90s. Ladies in the 90s. Hey, hey, hey. So we've got a number of 90s references here, including now the perennial one, Hit Me Baby One More Time. But also, let's see, No Scrubs. Strawberry Wine. Any others I missed there?
It's all buried in there.
Yeah.
I'm kind of baffled. I can't even think right now.
Why? What's going on?
I think I'm baffled because, frankly, in this moment, nostalgia feels politicized, right? Like, nostalgia for the past is actually an entire political movement happening in the United States. And the connection within country music and the kinds of things that are played at certain political rallies, but also just like nostalgia whatsoever. I think I'm really invigorated by people making future looking things. So for some reason, this track is a little triggering because it feels apoliticized, but it's not separate from our politics.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. The trap of nostalgia, perhaps. Okay. Okay. Let's keep that in mind as we move to another song that a lot of people have contacted us about. Especially because when we did an episode with Marian Hill, we asked for songs that made lyrical allusions to other songs.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people pointed out that 2002 by Anne Marie, which, despite its name, came out this year, is packed with lyrical allusions to 90s songs. Let's jump right to the chorus of Anne Marie's 2002. And it went like this, say, oops,
Postmodern nostalgia. This is like, there's not even an original line in the chorus, which I don't mean as a criticism, but rather everything is a construction of popular chorus names from the 90s or
totally.
From 2002.
Yeah. No, it's a collage. It's a pastiche. Yeah. And once again, the centerpiece is Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears, which we could just spin off into its own episode. How is that a reclamation of, you know, the way that Britney was sort of dismissed and hypersexualized by reporters and audiences at that moment?
Right.
Is it just kind of maybe forgetting the complex politics of her appearance and sound?
Sure.
I don't know. But again, that's some cultural critic should investigate that.
Sure.
What else do we have? We've got NSYNC, Bye Bye Bye.
Yeah.
We've got, oh my God, they went by so fast. We've got 99 Problems.
Yeah.
We've got Nelly, Ride With Me.
Oh my God.
Again, there are probably more that I can't even.
I think like almost every word.
Yeah.
When nostalgia is working, it's all about tickling our memory. Mm. And so there's like these flashpoint moments of each line takes you to a different place when you heard that song. And so your own personal experience becomes embedded within the track. I think it is a little pandery, but I think that it is, it's effective. You know, it works. There's a reason why these songs work.
Totally. And once again, I find it interesting that both of these tracks, Ladies in the 90s and 2002, while they make all these lyrical references to a late 90s, early 2000s moments, you know, again, do we hear any musical sort of connections to that time?
This couldn't sound any... This is... No.
It's very contemporary.
Yeah, it's very contemporary.
I mean, perhaps in... Here's one thing I wonder. It's like the harmonic progression of the verse in Anne-Marie's 2002, while not directly referencing the 90s, is a harmonic progression that we've talked about before. Oh, let's listen to the verse. Let's listen to the verse.
I will always remember the day you kissed my lips, light as a feather.
Oh, I know where this is going.
And it went just like this. No, it's never been better than the summer of 2002.
This is the chord progression that we analyzed on the DJ Khaled track, right?
Exactly. Right. When we listen to DJ Khaled's I'm the One.
Featuring everybody.
Featuring everyone. That song connected us to this really ancient lineage in terms of popular music.
Right.
Back to the 20s. Of a chord progression that we would call 1-6-4-5.
Right.
And this is exactly what Anne-Marie is using in 2002 as well. Let's listen to that verse one more time, and let's layer under it those four chords. The one chord, the six chord, the four chord, and the five chord.
I will always remember.
There's the one chord.
The day you kissed my lips, light as a feather.
The minor six chord.
And it went just like this, no, it's never been better.
Major four chord. Major five chord. And back to the one chord.
So we call this the 50s chord progression.
Exactly.
This is
so
every track in the 50s, right?
Like, oh yeah,
every doo-wop-y sort of thing was this chord progression.
Totally. We listened to Blue Moon, Stand By Me, Heart and Soul. Yeah. Absolutely ubiquitous. So maybe in that way it is creating a kind of nostalgia, but not really for the 90s.
Well, I think that the 90s did have more traditional harmonic progression. On last week's episode, when we were talking about the changes in country music, I was pointing out about how the chord progressions they're using sound like they're more derivative of EDM. And what we hear a lot of in contemporary music are chord progressions that don't have a strong harmonic push and pull from sort of home and away and back home, but things that are a little bit more romantic and ambiguous. Mm. And in the 90s, we would see a lot more, we call sort of like traditional harmonic progression, where you do have that strong push and pull. So I think we would hear a lot more of these kinds of songs in the 90s. No?
No, I'm not buying it.
You don't?
No, I mean, on our episode about Khaled, we showed how this progression has, that 50s progression that we're hearing in 2002 has never left
the
sphere of popular music.
Sure.
So I see it as this pillar of pop music harmony that you can reference at any point. It almost
That's
is,
true.
It's not, it maybe it doesn't even have a temporal referent anymore.
So I agree in terms of this particular chord progression.
Yeah.
But I think if you do go back to 90s music and we listen to the Britney and you listen to what Max Martin is doing then, there's a lot more harmonic tension.
You're... It's.
Am I making too broad of a generalization, Professor?
I think your point about 90s harmony is not incorrect.
but it's not the right argument for this piece, because this is, again, a double nostalgia. This is 90s to the 50s. Back. Okay.
And sorry, I'm sorry to theoretically backhand you there, but, you know.
It is a collegial discourse.
Okay, so we've seen how there is definitely a trend right now of reaching back to this late 90s, 2000s moment and creating this sense of nostalgia.
Yep.
And now, finally, for the last part of this episode, I want to zoom out one step further, because that in itself is kind of surprising, because it represents a very different understanding of the new millennium. The fact that the new millennium could be a source of escapism and nostalgia is surprising, because traditionally the new millennium was a source of anxiety, a source of this apocalyptic end of the world pessimism.
Y2K.
Remember Y2K? Who would feel any nostalgia for that?
Yeah.
So I was thinking it could be interesting to compare a song like Charlie XCX and Troye Sivan's 1999 to another song about 1999.
Its reference?
By Prince.
Yeah.
And what we have here is a very different approach to that year. Now, the Prince song was composed in 1982. It's projecting forward to this end of the world moment, the eschatological moment, which is a reference to our Harry Styles episode, Sign of the Times. You know, it's interesting. This recording session we're having is becoming very nostalgic.
Of our own recording.
For our previous episodes.
Yeah.
So the Prince song is treating 1999 as this end of the world rapture moment. Mm. And it's all about facing down the end of the world and dancing. What else do you do at the end of the world but dance, right?
It's almost anti-Orwellian. It's the future looking dystopia.
Yeah, I love it. So let's spin a verse and chorus of Prince's 1999.
Oh, we must.
Yes. Yeah, it's always on the edge, right? So again, right, if I'm going to die, I'm going to listen to my body tonight. It's about imagining the end of the world and just saying, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to dance. It's
totally.
It's at once, I think, very bleak and very optimistic at the same time, you know?
One of my favorite albums is by Medeski, Martin, and Wood called End of the World Dance Party, Just in Case.
Nice.
Just in Case.
Great. But right, so something has changed. No longer does the millennium represent this end of the world apocalyptic fantasy. Now, in comparison to, I guess, 2018, it represents the simpler time. And it's true, like Y2K seems so harmless now, right? At the time, we were all very concerned that there was going to be a worldwide technological blackout. And now it's like kind of adorable, Y2K.
Right.
Compared to the stuff we're living through now, the very real climate change, world conflict and disorder that does, frankly, portend some very serious consequences for us.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, no, 2000, that was a great year. Things were so much simpler then.
I think this is kind of absurd, because if we look back to 2002, this is just post 9/11. Mm. The allied countries preparing to go to war.
Right.
The looking for weapons of mass destruction. What was happening in the news was absolutely, truly, utterly terrifying. And being a teenager in that time was, at least for me, deeply anxiety producing. I don't think I listened to pop music at that moment with a sense of joy and ease.
Yeah.
I think at that moment I was listening to some really angsty music to pair with my real stress that I was feeling.
No, it's a great point. And I think it even further confirms perhaps the anxiety of our current moment.
Sure.
that by contrast, 20 years ago seems idyllic.
This is what I was talking about with the politics of nostalgia, right? Yeah. Nostalgia is all about a sort of brainwashed memory. Things were better, right? Like, I don't know. That was a rough period.
Yeah. So
I don't see it as so. Yeah. So
sorry. Perhaps, you know, while we can celebrate these songs, 1999, Ladies of the 90s, 2002, they're fun, they're catchy. It's like we also probably need people like Prince who are looking forward and giving us pop music that's going to prepare us and emotionally fortify us for the world ahead.
I love
rather than just escaping back into the past, the imagined past, right?
I've got to do another Switched On Pop reference. One of my favorite pieces you ever did was looking at Made in America, which was looking at the Toby Keith Made in America and the Jay-Z Kanye West Made in America. And what we determined was one was forward looking and one was backward looking. Mm. I was really excited to bring in the Prince. I hadn't listened to 1999 in a long time.
Such an amazing song.
Oh my gosh, is it radically different than anything contemporary, but it's so future driven.
Yeah.
And that in some ways is more contemporary than our contemporary music.
Totally. You need both. You need to look backwards and you need to look forward. Yeah. So if anyone out there has tracks looking forward, pop music that is anticipating the whatever's around the corner, send it our way.
Yeah,
we'll make
it.
A future pop playlist.
Future pop. Yeah. Beautiful.
This episode of Switched On Pop was produced by me, Nate Sloan.
And me, Charlie Harding. Our editing, mixing, mastering, and all the great sounds that you hear are done by Bill Lance. And our design is by Luke Harris. Our community manager is Sarah Terry.
You can find more episodes of Switched On Pop at our website, switchedonpop.com, or any podcast player you prefer.
I definitely recommend going to listen on Radio Public, which is just really one of the best places to listen to podcasts. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
As this episode testifies, we are so reliant on our listeners to suggest awesome topics for us to cover. You can reach out to us at contact@switchedonpop.com or on Twitter @switchedonpop.
We'll be back again in 2 weeks with a new episode. And until then, thanks for listening.
For listening.